Okay. All right. So tonight, I'm going to be sharing with you some of what happened in Jerusalem. Let me see if this is working. Oh, good. those three photos were actually taken by people in our group. I'm going to share with you some about what happened in Jerusalem. And as I do that, I'm going to have various ones come up and share just little snippets of what took place in our trip. But at the same time, I'm going to be sharing some things and some scriptures that I believe will absolutely bless you. So this isn't just about, showing home movies of our Jerusalem trip. I'm not doing that. In fact, we're really trying not to share too much with you, only because unless you've really been there, a lot of times, you know, if too much is shared, it's like, well, anyway, you know what I'm saying. After a while, it's like, well, that's enough. So how's that for an intro that makes you really want more? We had an amazing time. I'm going to start with this. Sukkot Hallel is the name of a 24/7 house of prayer in Jerusalem. So it is nonstop, 7 days a week, prayer and worship that's going up. That's the place that we originally heard about. That's the place, that's our primary ministry when we're going there. And I just want to share this scripture with you from Isaiah 62. On your walls, Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen. They will never fall silent day or night. No peace for you as you keep Yahweh's attention. And give him no peace either until he restores Jerusalem and makes her the pride of the world. This is in the Bible. Like, God's inviting us. He's saying, it's okay with me if you just keep asking and asking and asking. I kind of like that, because it's part of my plan that I fulfill what I said I would in Jerusalem and with my people in Israel. So we're there to take part in that, in those watches. I want to show you, these are just some pictures of that. That's Sarah is one of the ones that came along with us. So that this picture's taken right at Sukkot Hallel. And that's the background there is actually Mount Zion. So you can see these windows. There's Russ praying for her that are right there as we're worshiping. There's some more. Oh, that's kind of a fun thing. Is just like, I'm there on the drums, and we all like tried out different instruments while we were there too. It's the one place where you could do that. Just a couple more. It's Carl and Marilyn worshiping. Susan looking out the window. Probably singing about the Father's love, if I had to guess. There's Kelly praying. Here's just some dancing going on right in the room. And some more dancing. And more dancing. You know, because what happened is there were times where the Spirit would just come take over. And we, you know, that we would have to go express ourselves. So that you could see, that's like most of the room right there. It's not a huge place. But man, is it powerful. You walk in that room and the presence of the Lord is so thick. And there's such a good presence there. And these last couple pictures, this is just, again, the view. So those candles are from inside the window looking, and then the window's looking out. And there's looking the other direction from the window. And that's the Jaffa Gate. Carolyn's probably looking at this and going, oh, I want to go back. Every time we go, this is our third trip in 2.5 years. And every time we go, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, the reason, the reason why I put this slide in here, this is, as you can see, the umbrellas, is because one of the things that we prayed while we were at Sukkot, you remember here about a month ago, we declared an end to the drought. You remember that? We were agreeing basically agreeing with the Lord, who spoke through Bobby Connor, who was up at Bethel, and said, again, enough of this doom and gloom, and whether it's the economy or the rain or whatever, but we have this way sometimes of believing really bad news and giving it a lot of power. And God's saying, who wants to believe me? Who wants to agree with me that this is nothing for me to break through this? So we did that here. It was very powerful. Well, we did that the same thing when we were at Sukkot Hallel in that prayer worship place. We broke the drought. We just said enough of the drought. And that day, when I had looked ahead of time at the weather for the 10-day forecast when we were there, it was supposed to rain one day. And in fact, it rained about 4 or 5 days while we were there. In fact, it was pouring. There was many times where there were thunderstorms. There were times where it was just absolutely pouring all night long. Here's one of our outings. This is actually the one that Carolyn just spoke of in Shiloh. And there we are. I mean, you can see it was pouring, and it was freezing too. I did not dress appropriately. The last two times in Jerusalem, it was like 100, 110 degrees. And it said it was going to be 60, but there were days where it was more like 40. But I just wanted to say, and I heard also here that it rained quite a bit, and that at least the word I heard was that we were only an inch or two behind, behind a really good year now. So I just want to stop and say thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for the rain that has come. And, if he sent us halfway around the world just to pray for rain, that's okay with us. Another thing that we do while we're there, so one is we're inside Sukkot Hallel doing the taking our watch. We probably did about 13 watches. So 13 2-hour watches while we were there. Another thing we do is prophetic intercession. And what that is it's praying, but a lot of times it might be acting things out. It's whatever God tells us to do while we're walking around the land. We do this quite a bit. When we were praying, this was about a day before, half a day, because we're a half a day off, but about a half a day before you were worshiping last Saturday, God had us as a team get together, and we began to worship because the Lord had shown one of our, Kelly had shown one of our people that we were to send this whirlwind to you. As we were worshiping, it was going to come to you, and it actually was going to touch down in a few places before it got to you. Wherever the Lord wanted it to touch down, we didn't know. But we had a powerful time of worship. It was actually in our apartment. It wasn't even at Sukkot Hallel. But it was for this purpose. And so God will tell you things like that. Because actually, Kelly got that word when we were in the kitchen. This is what I want to say to you. There are times where God will tell you something, but it's kind of a fleeting thought. And you have a choice whether you're going to do it or not. And so Kelly had this thing like, God's showing me we're going to send this whirlwind, and it's going to touch down over here in Pleasanton when you guys worship a half a day later. But we had a choice whether we were going to do that or not, whether we were going to believe him, and we did. And oh my goodness, it was such a powerful time together. I'm gonna call up Kelly right now. Actually, this picture right here is in the basement of Caiaphas's house. And some of these pictures our team haven't even seen yet, because they were the pictures that Russ, where's Russ? Russ somewhere? Oh, there you are. These are the pictures that Russ sent, and a couple of them were pitch dark, right? Well, this is one of them. They're, actually, we got this thing that, you guys probably have all used this, but this thing that edits it out, and you can actually, it just brings out all the color. I'm like, oh my gosh, there was a picture there. So, Kelly's going to share. We had some of us had been here before, down at the bottom of Caiaphas' house, and God deeply, deeply touched us. And before I have Kelly share, just to give it a little bit more perspective, here you can hold on right here. We know the story of Jesus being arrested. And Father, when he says, not my will, but yours be done, you know, on Thursday night when he's arrested. And then we know about when he's flogged on Friday and he goes to the cross. But what happened that night? Where did he stay that night? And this is down underneath Caiaphas's house in some, a couple of stories down underneath the ground in these deep caves where clearly people had been flogged and various things happened down in here. So anyway, I just wanted to give you a perspective of where we're talking about. And Kelly can share a little bit of what happened.
Maybe. Well, I just pray right now that the Lord would kind of give you a feel for what happened in there. It was very, 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 very powerful, and I don't even know all of it, understand it, but it was so, so big. And there were angels in there, and it was like they had been waiting for us, waiting for somebody that would be available, that would make themselves available. And there was more than one birthing or travail that went on, I just felt such a presence of the holiness of the Lord. I didn't expect to feel that in there, but it was the kind of fear, the reverent fear, the awe, the whoa. And as we experienced, as I was feeling that, we were in this dark room. It wasn't light like that. It was very dark. And I was laying on the floor in there, feeling the holiness, and just this breakthrough of moving into a holier, a higher level of holiness, of seeing who he was, and this feeling of, whoa, choosing to not fear and look at man, but choosing to choosing the fear of God over the fear of man. So, it was really amazing.
I just want to add that we were there in the summertime, and people were constantly coming through. This was the lowest chamber. And even here, there was two large groups. One was just leaving when we came in. Another one was, like just right ahead of us, very large groups. And while this happened, this was totally God orchestrated. I bet you we were there 15 or 20 minutes with nobody around. And we were, there were things, as you can probably tell, there was things cried out. We were doing some deep intercession stuff, and God just kept everybody far away while we did this. It was amazing. And one more. Now, where's Russ? I know you're going to know. Is this Elon Murray? Yes, okay. This is the place where Abraham came through. This is the place where Joshua came through with 2 million Israelites. This valley as it came up, and we came here to pray and to declare. And you'll see in this picture, there's Kelly right there. That last picture, is what we're Oops. Okay. Wow, that went way back. Sorry about that. Anyway, I'm going to go back. Sorry, this just have to zip through these. You get a second view. Okay. All right, here we go. So this is the valley we're looking down on, and Kelly's going to be standing right there in that circle. And so here she is, and that's me behind her. And I was literally holding her because I was hanging on to her. That was a deep drop. And she was kind of lost in the spirit. So what was going on, Kelly?
Before I left, I knew that I was supposed to go over for some prayers. And those last one and this were really where there was a deposit that the Lord wanted to make. And I don't understand all of it. He doesn't give me always the interpretation. And he's told me that that's because it's so big sometimes that it would scare me. So I don't know exactly what I was praying, but I started praying in tongues and looking out over that valley, and my spirit recognized that valley. That I had seen it. I could see Abraham and his family going through that valley, and so I started praying louder and just holding up the sword of the Spirit, and the words were so powerful that it was knocking me over backwards. That's why he was holding me up as well, keeping me from going over the edge. I just sensed angels. It was big. It was big. God's doing something, making a proclamation into the heavenlies. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
That's good. Thank you, Kelly. Sometimes we... you know, it's hard to share when you don't have full understanding of things. But I thought about this. We thought about this as a team. It's important that we let you know some of the supernatural things that happen, even if we don't understand fully what it was, because he keeps doing these things. And that's a lot of times what prophetic intercession is he'll have you step out and do something. And like Kelly just said, you may not even know what you're doing. But it's over and over again in Scripture. I mean, if I did a whole teaching tonight on prophetic intercession, I could pull out example after example of how God does this. He uses people to act out something. You know, I mean, even like Hosea, you know, asking the prophet to marry a prostitute, you know, for what he wanted to say to Israel. That's just one example, and there's so many where he wants us, for his purposes, he wants us to act out something that he is doing. So thank you, Kelly, for sharing that, and I know it was powerful just because I was there. It was very, very powerful. Another one, this is a almond blossom. And I don't know if that's the same one you had, is it, that was at your feet? Do you know? No, a different one. This is an almond blossom. And we learned something about the almond tree when we were there this time, that God uses the almond tree as a prophetic declaration, and that we're to be like that. And what it is is this, that the almond tree is the first tree to bud every year, and it does so long before all the others do. It's like God says, I'm going to use this tree to cry out that, you know, that spring is coming, but long before it actually comes. And that's a description of who we are. It really is. We're the ones that keep seeing what's true, that we're so filled with hope. We keep seeing the things before others do. Sometimes we feel like we're going crazy because it's like, am I the only one seeing this? But God is using you. You're the fragrance, the sweet smelling fragrance that he talks about in 2 Corinthians 2. You're that sweet smelling fragrance that sends the word out before others see it. You're the one that's giving other people hope before they can see it. And so there were many times, actually, I had a pocket full of almonds, and there were various times where I was throwing them out in places where we went, just again as a prophetic declaration of the kingdom that's coming. A whole nother area of what we do when we go is we're there to encourage leaders. We're the Aaron and Hur that's raising up Moses' arms, because we feel like it's so important, because we're just there for such a short time, and there are people who God has placed there doing amazing things, but you know what? They're getting really worn out. And this message of the Father's love and of the goodness of God and just how much God is for you, it's amazing how many people are out there ministering who either don't know that or who forget in the midst of the weariness. And so we just come along. We come in low, meaning we go there to serve. And this is Rick and Patty Writings. They're actually the founders of Sukkot Hallel, the House of Prayer. And we got to minister to them. That's actually our front room there, like our entryway. And we had them over for dinner, and we spent time just ministering to them, loving on them, giving them encouraging words. We had gifts for them. They were so blessed. They were so, so blessed. And it was our privilege to be able to do that for them. Here's another one. This is Jillian. She's one of, just like our House of Prayer here, there's many people who are worship leaders there. They're all, like, a lot of them are raising support, or they're going to school or doing other things and doing this on the side. Jillian was one of those. And so that's actually inside the House of Prayer. But she had a watch that we actually took over, but she showed up anyway. And so we just got to minister to her. Towards the end of the watch, we spent like the last 20 minutes just singing over her, praying over her. We actually gave her money. Do you remember the fundraiser we had where we did the desserts, and a lot of you gave toward that? This trip, we actually gave a lot of that money to individuals like her. We just, as God put it on our hearts to do so, we just gave them money. And because, again, a lot of them are raising support. And they were just hugely, hugely blessed. So that's another one. This is John and Una, who have another House of Prayer. That's not John and Una in the middle. That's Carl. He's on our team. John and Una, sweet couple who have another House of Prayer that's in the city of David. And here's a picture here of that House of Prayer. So again, it's another small place, but this is talk about the hiddenness of the Lord. I love this. This is right in the midst. All of the city of David is almost all Muslim, and so here they are in a basement with a Muslim owner right above them. And I mean, if you know, it's just so cool what they're doing. It's so cool. We just, Lord, we bless them, and God is just, He really is just keeping them hidden. So we got to bless them. All right. While I was there, there was a phrase that just kept coming to me, one for all and all for one. Now, I actually know that it's all for one and one for all, but for those of you who are buffs, you know, of the Three Musketeers. But this is the way the Lord was showing it to me, was one for all and all for one. That phrase, I just kept going over and over and over. Clearly, the greatest example of that is Jesus. One person who died for all. And let me just read that in Romans 5:18, where Paul's talking about the difference between what Adam did and how Jesus turned it all around. And verse 18 says, "One man's offense," that would be Adam, "brought condemnation on all humanity, and one man's good act has brought justification and life to all humanity." That's huge. One man's good act on the cross, Jesus, brought justification and life to all of humanity. That, again, that word justification is tried and found not guilty. To all humanity. I preached on this, a whole sermon, a couple months ago. So I'm not going to go into the detail, but just to say that God's judgment over all of his children is not guilty. You are free. Jesus paid it all. So, but for those who won't accept his judgment of not guilty, they will judge themselves because of their refusal to believe the good news. But I'm telling you, that's how good the good news is. It's right there in Scripture. It's many places in Scripture. Also, the part about judging ourselves is actually in Scripture as well. But one for all, so Jesus died for all. And now what you see is that everybody who's in Christ all over the earth, what? We are now the one body of Christ. We are bringing it all back to Jesus. We're all glorifying him. He did it all for us. And we say, Jesus, everything we have, we give to you. It all comes back. All for one for all and all for one. Just another picture to show you the same thing. Now, what the Lord was showing me too is that this is also true for Israel, the nation of Israel. Because God, it was God's plan, it was his choice. He decided to choose a man. Right? He chose Abraham and he said, "Through you, I'm going to bless you, and there's going to be a nation that comes out of you, and more sons and daughters than the stars in the sky." And so it was always God's plan. I'm going to show myself through a nation. I'm going to show the world what it looks like when a nation believes in me. And we know that they did well sometimes, they did not do well sometimes as far as following the Lord. But that was always God's plan. Now what happened is that because Israel as a nation did not recognize Jesus as Messiah, God's salvation was open to all of us. So here we go. This was God's idea that through one nation, actually, it would be opened up to all. That was always his plan. We know it's his plan. I'm going to read it to you in a minute because it actually talks about basically God lulling them to sleep. That was part of his plan. That through, even though it was always his intention for him to be shown through one nation, the bigger plan is that it was never only about one nation. He always wanted all of his kids with him. But this was his plan. He said, "I'm going to start with one nation. Through them, I'm going to open it up to everybody." And that's where we are now. We're in this place where salvation is offered to all non-Jews. Everybody gets in on this. Anybody who wants Jesus gets in on this. But the all for one is that what you're seeing now is that all of those who are in Christ all over the world, no matter what the nation, they're all being drawn back to Israel, to Jerusalem. They're seeing the bigger picture that this is all going to come full circle. And what God started in them, he's going to finish. I want to read it to you just so you know. If you ever want to read up more on this, read Romans 9, 10, and 11. Those three chapters, 9, 10, and 11. That's Paul's attempt at explaining this whole thing. But I'm just going to read to you from chapter 11. And this is in a version of the of the scriptures called the Heart of Paul. It's a version I love. But he says, there's a statement. This is in verse 8 of chapter 11, Romans 11. He says, there's a statement in our records that says God made them sleepy, them being the Jews. God made them sleepy so that they dozed off and they were unaware of the sights and sounds around them right to this very day. Similarly, King David said, may their festivities be a snare, a trap, a stumbling block, and a type of retribution to them. May they be blinded so that they do not see and be burdened by the weight of their load. Paul goes on to say, has then the nation of Israel so gravely faltered that it will be completely rejected? Not at all. Through this temporary situation, through this, this is the way God sees it. Even though for us it's hundreds or thousands of years, God says it's a temporary situation. Through this temporary situation, wholeness has come to non-Jews. In other words, everybody else. To stir up a spirit of jealousy in the Jews. See, there's this bigger plan that as non-Jews come into the kingdom, it's going to actually make Jews jealous for what they don't have. They're going to see the Messiah through us. If the temporary setting aside of the Jews means fulfillment to the whole world, and their failure means fulfillment to the non-Jews, what do you suppose it will mean when the Jews are reinstated? Wow. The wow is right in there. Wow. Just recently, maybe some of you have known this for a long time, and maybe there's more than one application of this, what Jesus said, but just recently, God was giving me insight into that phrase that Jesus said several times that never made sense to me, really, when he said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And it suddenly was it was just so clear that the first, God's first, was Israel. That was his first nation, his first choice. They're going to come in the end. The last, those of us that heard about it last, heard about Christ, we're the first ones in. In the end, the Jews are going to come around. This it's God's plan. I'm going to read more to you in just a minute. Let me see. Let me read one more. Verse 15. Consider again, if setting the Jews aside, the Israelites aside, has resulted in the reconciliation of the whole world to God, what would their reinstatement mean? Why, it would mean the resurrection of the whole creation. So, there's this thing going on where God's... God, right now, has opened it up to everybody, okay? And so when we're actually going to Jerusalem or Israel, we are mostly ministering to non-Jews, mostly. We're going there to love everybody. It doesn't matter whether they're Jews, Muslims, it doesn't matter. We're going over there to love. But I'm just telling you where we are in history right now, God's bringing in a whole lot of the nations right now until his banquet table is full, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. I'll read that in a minute. And then will come the Jews back in. That's what's going to happen. So I want to show you. I told you we went to just minister and love on people of all nations while we're there. This was last summer. That's Pastor Todd, who was up here earlier. And we were painting this house. And yes, that is the colors they wanted it painted, purple and pink. That was their choice. And so we were painting this house for them. And who's gonna share this part? Oh, Karina. Karina's going to come share. You need to hear the rest of the story. She's going to share the rest of the story. But again, remember I told you we go in low. We go in to serve. We go in to love. So we went right into this Muslim family. This is in a Palestinian area, right in a Muslim family that did not know Jesus. And we painted their house for them. So what's the rest of the story?
Yeah, so these weren't the best of conditions, those of you that went. It was really, really hot, covered in paint and turpentine. But as Brent said, we went in as servants, and Jesus came as a servant. He washed his disciples' feet and said, "I've set an example for you." So we went in, and we basically, like Kelly had said, she was just doing this as unto the Lord. You know, it was pretty bad circumstances, but we did it with joy and with love and poured out. And so now this family, we didn't have an agenda. We knew that the light of God in us, though, was going to illuminate their hearts. And so now this family, they're actually saved. They're Christians now, this Muslim family. They're, yes, yay God. Yes. They're praying for each other. The young boys are, one boy was praying for another, for his brother, and he had a headache and he got healed. And so, like Brent said, God's heart is that all would know him, whether Jew, Gentile, Arab, Muslim, and he's just doing it. So that was really good news.
Awesome. And that was maybe 6 months ago that we went in there and did that. God is moving. We are hearing so many stories of Muslims coming to the Lord, but you're not going to read about this in the press. They're not going to tell you this on TV. In fact, many of the Muslims won't. They're going to still go through their own traditional things because if word got out, they would either be exiled, or worse, they would be killed. And of course, as you know, that is happening around the world. There is a huge groundswell of Muslims coming to the Lord. And Susan has another story of something that happened. We're going to have to keep the names and the places vague because of the sensitivity of it. But amazing story.
So I think in a very area very close to where the painting took place, that same Palestinian Muslim area, the lady that was hosting us has been going in. This woman is fearless. She will go anywhere to love people. And she goes in again to serve. She goes in to do physical therapy, to do massage therapy and things like that, just to love on them, to minister to the people. So she had gained access and some favor with some of the families. And she said to them, "Give me your toughest cases." That was essentially the challenge she gave to them. So she found a couple tough cases, like pretty hopeless, actually medical cases. So she asked Marilyn and I to go in with her because she thought, well, maybe you could give me some medical advice. Well, the reality is actually they needed medical miracle more than advice, actually. But in the one particular case, she had been going in doing some therapy because this woman, I think something like 6 months ago, had sustained a very serious brain injury, it was probably domestic violence or something. And actually looking at her, it was a miracle she was even alive. I would say that injury did not look survivable to me, but she was, although she was completely paralyzed, all she could do was blink her eyes. And so she'd been laying in the bed, completely contracted, but our host had been going in, working with her, massaging her. She'd been loosening up her limbs some. And her family loved her. The mom... This was a young woman. She had four little kids. So for 6 months, she hadn't been able to talk to them or hold them or love them or anything. But her mom had been there taking care of her, feeding her, trying her best to change her, to move her in the bed. And then our host had been coming in and caring for her and helping the best she could. And had been bringing a translator that really loved the Lord, that could translate into Arabic, who also had a very beautiful singing voice, a Christian woman, and she was singing songs about Jesus over this woman, and she would just love it when you could just, I mean, I don't know that I could really tell the change of her expression because there wasn't much change, but because they knew her, they could kind of see her expression change when she when they sang over her. And this time, our host was telling us, you know, I think this is the day. This is the day we're going to ask her whether she wants Jesus, because we've been meeting with him, and we've been loving on her, and I think this is going to be the day. So we're in there, and we're just praying and interceding, and then the translator just starts singing this beautiful song about Jesus and the love of Jesus. And you could just feel the presence of God was thick in that room. It was just falling. And then she said to her, you know, through the translator, "Would you like Jesus?" Blink. Yes. Just this little blink. That was all she could do. And then it was just like this insight. And I just said to her, "You know what? You're going to start getting dreams and visions. And maybe you haven't been able to, you know, communicate with people, but you can communicate with God." And she just, I think Marilyn was standing right next to her, saw a little tear come out of her eye at that point. Because, you know, maybe her body and her soul wasn't very able to function, but her spirit is very much still alive and completely able to commune with God. There was no interference in the spirit realm for her. And I think she grabbed hold of that. And I can't prove that, but my spirit was saying that was what was going on in that instant. And then her mom was there with us. Her mom had granted permission for all this to happen. They're in a Muslim home. If the neighbors knew what was going on, they wouldn't be very happy about that. The mom then turned to us and said, "You Christians, you are so much better than the Muslims, because you say you're going to come and you come." See, the love of God speaks volumes. And that's what they were responding to. You, this love is real. Okay, this is just a little plus, a little fun thing that happened on the way home. So the translator was just this delightful young lady. She was at a Bible school and just loved the Lord and just so sweet. I don't know how old she was, maybe 20 years old, 20? 22. Anyway, on the way home, she was, we were just kind of rejoicing at what happened. She said, "Oh, I'm so tired." And I just got to lay my hand on her to start praying for her. And, you know, Marilyn and I just start praying over her. She's like, "Oh, I'm getting filled up. Oh, but I don't want to," what did she say? "I don't want to," she said something very New Agey like, "Oh, I don't want to take all your energy." I'm like, "Oh, that is so New Age. I hear that at Burning Man all the time." Because she'd never quite experienced that. It's like, no, you don't understand. There's always more. This is the river of life. You're not tapping anything from us. So we're like teaching her to drink on the way home. And so we have like, you know, 5 minutes to go. I'm like, "Okay, God, what can I give her in 5 minutes?" And so we start talking to her a little bit more. And I kind of pray over her that anointing for, you know, seeing into the third heaven. You know, that anointing we receive, that impartation from Davi. And she's all excited. She's like, "Oh, I've never seen Jesus." I'm like, "Well, close your eyes. Let's go do it, okay?" And she's like, okay. And so we just kind of pray over her and sort of invite her into heavenly places. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, it's Jesus. And he said to me, 'Where have you been? I've been waiting for you.'" So 2 minutes on our drive home, that's what Jesus can do.
I won't share the story, but this is, and I won't even say who this is, but this is just someone that Todd and Karina have been loving on. This is one of the shop owners, or the son of a shop owner who is now a Christian, and this is right in the Muslim quarter in the old town. God has just had us go in and meet certain ones that we just get to keep loving on. So that actually, he's holding Todd's CD right there. Because we gave it to him as a gift. And then here's another one. This is Varouj, who is a sweet man. And he has this Photoshop, that many of us have purchased pictures from him. But right there, this I'm just praying over his heart, because he actually was going to go into the hospital for something with his heart. Sweet, sweet man. And so God, and he is a believer. He actually told us a story when we were with him of how many years ago he had actually seen Jesus Jesus showed up to him and all glowing. And but see, that's what the Lord's doing. He's showing up to people and bringing them into the kingdom. So it's going on all over the place. But these last two pictures are shops right in the old town, right in the old city. So back to where this is going. Let me just read this again. This is Romans 11, now starting in verse 20, end of 25. It says, the partial blindness of Israel has occurred only until the non-Jews are admitted to God's family in full strength. So this partial, where they're not fully able to see Jesus yet as the Messiah, Yeshua as Messiah, is only going to be for a time until all the fullness of those who are supposed to come into the kingdom. But then all of Israel ultimately will be saved, will be made whole. Okay, just one more sentence here. Make this comparison, verse 30. It used to be that you did not believe God, but now through their lack of trust, Israel, you have received forgiveness. Right now, the Jews do not believe, but through the forgiveness being expressed to you, they may eventually experience the same. God saw all persons prisoners of unfaith so that he might forgive everyone of everything. It's right there. So this whole thing of one for all for one, I don't even feel like I'm doing it justice as far as the depth of what the Lord was saying to me, but I'm trying to convey it to you that he was saying, just like Jesus, one person did it all, now all things are coming back to him. He says it's true for the nation of Israel. It started with them. It through them, it's been opened up to everybody, but it's all coming back. And so this is why so many people are being drawn. And those that go feel like, wow, there's something that happens when you go there. God, there's a piece of you that I don't know, like lives there or something. There's something deeper, something bigger going on. And now some people are going to be called specifically to minister to the Jewish people. And a lot of times they feel very protective over them, like of others who are trying to come in and do horrible things, which is right. You know, it's right, absolutely right that we pray blessings. We do that a lot when we were at Sukkot Hallel. But I will say that sometimes if your main focus, if God's put on your heart, the main focus being Jewish people, Israelites, sometimes you can forget that he's got to bring in the fullness of the non-Jews. So in other words, I know sometimes people, for example, can be kind of antagonistic. If they're really pro-Israel, they can be very antagonistic against Muslims or others. And God's saying, no, wait a minute, you got to love them all. You've got to love them all because they're all coming in. And eventually it's going to bring the Jews to jealousy and they are going to come streaming in to see Yeshua as the Messiah. It's going to happen. It's absolutely going to happen. All right, we're getting close here. This is just praying for the peace of Jerusalem. I just want to stop and do that for just a moment. So God, what we do absolutely, your plan is brilliant, God. And we thank you that you have opened up salvation to all who would believe. And God, we thank you that many of all nations, including Muslims, are coming. They're coming. They're seeing Jesus, and they are coming in to the kingdom. We thank you for that. And God, we ask for the peace of Jerusalem, that God, in the time before the Jews come streaming back in, we are asking, especially in that time, for the peace of Jerusalem, God, that the nations that are in a rage around your nation, thank you, God, for your protection over your nation, God. Thank you that you are going to fulfill your word. And it's actually really important to us that you do, because we have to know that you'll fulfill your promises to us as well. It's really important that we know that you're not a God who makes promises and then just breaks them. You don't. You fulfill all of your promises. So thank you, God, that you will fulfill your promise to the nation of Israel just as you fulfill all your promises to us that you have made through Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. One last thing I want to share with you before we take communion together. This is me freezing, but this was at, we would say Shiloh, they would say Shiloh, standing in the place of the Holy of Holies that Carolyn was just speaking of earlier. And for me, this was probably the most significant time that I had while I was there. And this is the place, you can read about it in like Joshua, I think it's chapter 18. It's so wild. Now it's like, I read these things and I'm like, I've been there. I was there. Where this is where Samuel was. Anyway, I won't go into all the history. But just to say that this was, we were in the place where the ark was held. And you could step into the place that was, you know, where the Holy of Holies was. And as I first walked in, I actually got there just, I mean, the whole group was together, but I was like the first one in there. And I walked in, and as I did, I was so overcome by the goodness of God that through Christ, you know, we get to walk in anytime we choose. Anytime we want, we get the presence of God. And then the group actually left, and I stuck around for a little while. Because God started to show me some things. And one of them was, I actually started thinking about the priests who only got to go in one person on behalf of the whole, you know, nation got to go in one time a year. And even for that one person, he had to wait 365 days to go in there. I mean, the countdown, you know, after he went in and experienced the Lord's presence. Here we go again, 365, 364, 363. You have to wait 365 days to go in there. And as I was there, the Lord began, overwhelming presence of God began to flood me. And I was asking myself, God, do we know what we have? Do we understand that this presence, this overwhelming presence, we can have all the time? We really can. I don't experience the Lord like I did that day all the time, but I truly believe that I can. I really do. It has to do with, will we set our affections on Him? And this life of ours, you all know this with all that's going on, but you understand that the scriptures say this life of ours is over like that. It's here and gone. That quickly. And so the question becomes, and the question I was asking the Lord there was, I so want your presence. And the question then became, God, what can you do with this short life to give you the most glory? We've been talking to you for a long time, if you've been here, about knowing your destiny, about, you know, God's got this amazing destiny for you. And that's absolutely true. But there comes a point also where you say, but you know what? This life, it's here and gone fast. And what I really want is I want you to be as glorified as possible. How can you receive the most glory with this life in the few short days that I'm here? That's really what it's about. It really is. And we get so caught up in the stuff that we forget really that it's all about His presence. And those who value His presence, you will encounter the Lord more and more and more. I guarantee it. Jesus, remember when He was talking about the seeds and He said some of them are thrown into the thorns. And He said that's the cares of the world, the fears and the cares of the world. And that's, as I think it was David that got up here and shared a little bit ago, that's the temptation. The temptation is to get so caught up in the things of the world, of what we think we have or don't have, or the fears of how is this all going to play out, that we lose sight of the one thing, the presence. His presence is the only thing that truly satisfies that deep place in us. And it's the one thing that's going to cause our lives to glorify Him. It really is. It's His presence just flowing right out of us. So I just want to stop. I mean, we're just going to take communion next. I wanted to just stop right now, though, all of us to take a moment. I know it's late. Actually, all our bodies are still adjusting. So But I just want to stop and ask the Lord right now just to touch us with his presence. God, we do choose to turn our affections towards you. God, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that through the blood you shed on the cross, we are clean. We are completely holy in your sight. We get to walk into the presence of God any time we want. And God, we want. We want, we want, we want. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love your presence. We love your presence. We choose to value you. We value your sweet, sweet presence. God, would you just slow us down, God? We're so busy that we don't even know what we're missing. God, when your presence fills us, we have the resources to do anything. But most of all, God, it is just about enjoying you. It's about enjoying you, God. Do you know that the priest had to wait 365 days for this? Oh. Shh. And that was only one person who got to go in. Oh, do we know what we have? Whoa. If you are not feeling God's presence, that's okay. And what I mean by that is he loves you just the same. But I will tell you that just about everybody in this room who does now feel his presence, it wasn't always that way. For any of us, it wasn't. There's something he takes you on this journey. When you really want him, he says, okay, let's go. Let's go to the deeper places. And there is this progression. The more we say no to the things of the world that just so distract us, the more we say no to those things, the more we say yes to him, he draws us in and draws us in. And then he begins kissing us with his kisses from heaven. Right on our hearts, he starts kissing us with his presence. Just like they've done studies, you know, of babies who are not touched, that they will die. God knows that's true for us. He knows we need his touch. We need his love more than anything. And he knows that. And that's why he keeps saying to us, shh. He says, just shh and know that I'm God. He's like, stop trying to figure out all your problems. Because it's not helping. And just come and rest. And know that I'm God. And know that I'm good. Oh. So what I pray, Holy Spirit, is lots more of this. I really do. I just pray you would keep flooding us with your presence, your sweet, sweet presence. Would you convince us, Lord, we can have this all the time. We can have this every day. We really can. As we set our gaze, as we fix our affections on you. So I want to ask if the team who went to Jerusalem would come up, because we're going to serve communion. This one and this one? Just the one? So go ahead, come on up, team, Jerusalem team. Jesus, he said, I want you to eat of me. I want you to drink of me. He's saying, you don't even know how much you need me. I'm everything. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is no life apart from me. So before he died, he wanted us to know that. He said, I want you to do this. I want you to eat and drink of me in remembrance, knowing that I paid the price in full, knowing that we're going to do this together someday soon. Someday soon, you're going to eat and drink with me at the banqueting table. Soon. Soon, soon, soon. So Jesus, we believe you. You are Yeshua, the Messiah. You are Jesus, the Son of God, the one who paid the full price. You are God's one and only gift to us. That through you, Jesus, we have full forgiveness, full freedom. We've been made perfect and whole. So that we can approach the Father with confidence. Not in fear. Not in shame. Not in condemnation. But loved, cherished, wanted, chosen. So we come to the table tonight gladly to receive you, Jesus, gladly, with gratitudes in our heart. Gratitude in our hearts, God. So what we're going to do is to invite you up. And actually, Lonnie has a team also. They're going to go over there. Do you want them to come take communion first? So why doesn't Lonnie and his team, whoever he asked to help him pray, come on up and take communion first? The one on the... over here is the wine, and the other three are juice. And just take bread and dip it in. But if you were asked by Lonnie to pray, come on up and take communion first. And then they're going to go off to the side so that if you need prayer, especially for healing, you can go over to them and receive that. And for the rest of you, as you come up, we are going to bless you, however the Lord leads us to do that as you take communion. So you're welcome to do that. And Matt, why don't you just put a CD on for me?